In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Defying the laws of the universe. Traveling across the globe. Giving up life and liberty. Finding the real people. Finding the truth. This team will stop at nothing to tell your story. Decades in the making. Finding the people behind the ads. Ad Phantom has arrived.
A little over the top?
Yeah, just a little.
Whatever, just roll with it.
All right, here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ryan.
And I'm John.
Welcome to the Ad Phantom Show, brought to you by AdPhantom.com. John is especially excited today.
AdPhantom.com.
This show is about finding the real people and telling your story. If you've got a good show idea, visit AdPhantom.com and submit an idea, or you can feel free to send us an email at production@AdPhantom.com, and somebody important, not John or I, will receive that email, and it will go into our production meeting, and we'll reveal your subject. We're always looking for good show ideas, so yeah, send away.
It's probably going to be a lady who answers that email, because they're better at it than we are.
They're better at just about everything we are.
Most things, yeah.
Just about.
I can still open pickle jars.
It's true. It's true.
That's really all I got going for me.
Except they're making those new, you know,
right?
Those yeah. Openers.
We don't have our edge anymore. We're losing it.
So I was talking to a lady the other day, and she had asked me if I had seen The Help. And the reason she'd asked me is she'd listened to me back when I was on radio and reviewing films. And I said, no, actually, I haven't been to the theater in a while. One, there isn't one super close to my home, and it's freaking expensive to go to the movie theater.
I'm saying.
It has to be a matinee, or you're like, you know, have to put it on the credit card because you don't even carry that much cash on you anymore.
And then it, like, the best thing about it is, like, okay, so you just go to a regular movie, and you're easily dropping $25 on two tickets, like, without blinking an eye if you go on. Mm-hmm. And then let's say you and your lady want to get some popcorn. There's another $25 for, like, two large sodas and some popcorn. Oh, but you can get all the free refills you want. Although you can spend, like, you know, $10 on two drinks and some popcorn. But inevitably, when you get the smaller ones, you want to get more, but you can't. But even you get the big ones, you never go back for your refill.
Or the cup deteriorates.
Right.
And you come
right.
back with this bush, and you're like, I swear I bought it here, I swear.
Yeah. And they're like, sure, get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. It's the truth. Well, anyway, so they asked me to see The Help. I hadn't seen it, and I wanted to go get a review. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't go in there with high expectations, because I'll be honest, I don't like films that are about the white man being mean to the black man or someone else. I don't like those types of films that tend to be stereotypical. They don't really tell real stories. This one, on the other hand, was great. What it really came down to is mean people are mean and good people are good, regardless of color, background, ethnicity, anything, which I really enjoyed. And to be honest, John, although I did feel a little weird going there, you know, by myself in the afternoon to go see The Help, I was pleasantly surprised, because it has been a long time that I have seen a movie that put me on an emotional roller coaster where I was laughing. There were times when I teared up a little bit. It was very well done. I highly recommend it. I'm going to have a full review on everything about it on our website, adphantom.com. But, John, honestly, I would highly recommend going to see this film.
Absolutely.
And I was surprised. I like to be pleasantly surprised.
No, that's good. I recently had an experience with movies. As you know, I'm sure, the complete saga of Star Wars came out on Blu-ray just recently.
I think I need to take a break real quick.
I know, right? And I was thinking about it, and I was like, $80 for all that, plus an extra 40 hours of behind-the-scenes stuff.
I have not seen. Is it all six of them for $80?
Yeah, it's all six of them on Blu-ray, $80.
Holy crap. That's an awesome deal.
And I think you also there's some special features where you can actually watch the originals, or a less doctored version of the original. It's not the completely unedited version of the original. You know,
I got to tell you, my nerd card is laminated, okay?
Right.
Totally. I mean, it's for real. But I did not know that, shamefully, I'm admitting that I didn't know all the details that they have on that. Just so did you get it?
I didn't, because a couple reasons. One, I thought, how many copies of this do I own or have owned?
I've got it on VHS. I'm pretty sure I've got the...
If I do this, I'm validating the previous three, the prequels, which I have strong opinions, most of them negative about.
Oh,
and as pretty as Natalie Portman is, she doesn't quite make up for the terribleness of the movies.
Yeah, well, I think what happens is the acting is as bad as it was in the older ones, but at least in the older ones, they had real props to work with, right. And it was okay to act bad in the 70s. That was kind of
the thing. Well, that's the thing is the last two movies weren't directed by George Lucas because he's not a great director. So the last two movies were exponentially better than the first one because the directing style was so different. And, you know, I mean, like, yep. his directing style is do the same thing, but faster and more intense. That's not direction. You can't work off of that.
I think it's weird because he doesn't really have a chin. Have you seen that guy? That's just like those.
I know, that's why he grew
the beard.
Weird
neck thing.
You gotta grow a beard if you don't have a jawline or a chin. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, we're gonna ostracize the normal people out there.
Right.
So.
Hey, but no, don't get me wrong. I love Star Wars. I don't know. So I'll probably will break down, get it maybe during the holidays or something. My wife will probably buy it for me because she knows I do want it. I just as of right now, I'm having a trouble with that whole concept. But that aside, I did make some good TV watching food that did consist of bacon this weekend.
Of course
I did. This is a really easy, fun, simple recipe, and it's great with the seasonal changes if you're in any part of the country that's not the desert.
Hey.
It's getting cooler here. You know,
it's getting cooler at night here.
Well, I mean, like, our daytimes are, like, overcast and rainy and 60 degrees. How are yours?
Well, we're having around 100, so we're starting to drop from the three-digit. But our nights are, like, 70. It's great.
Wow. You might even need to put on a long-sleeve T-shirt.
No, I'm a short sleeve man. That's why I live here.
Right.
I don't like wearing much clothes.
Yeah, you're a snowbird. Yeah.
What?
So that's super simple. You just take some jalapenos, you cut them in half, you scrape the seeds and the veins out, because that's where the spice
is. If you're a wimp.
Yeah, well, you could leave them in, but... and then you just block up some cheddar cheese, pop it in there, and then wrap the whole thing in bacon and broil it until it's crispy delicious.
Oh, man.
I tell you what.
Sounds really good.
They took about 5 minutes to make up. Super easy. Yeah, like most poppers.
And it's football season.
Right?
Great time to be having some bacon poppers.
Yep. So, and then this recipe was submitted to us by Will. So thanks, Will. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Will. Keep your recipes coming. Go to AdPhantom.com. I probably shouldn't do this. I'm going to get in trouble. But if you send recipes to... No, I'm going to get in trouble. I can't say that. Go to the website. Send it to the production. But the production people are going to have a fit and get really, really frustrated with me. Like, we're getting all these bacon recipes. This is a part of whatever.
You're like,
so go to
do my job for me.
Yeah, exactly. So go to the Contact Us section of AdPhantom.com. I'll tell you what, guys, we have a great show for us today, for you, actually, not for us. We have a great show for you today.
Right.
We are talking with Ian Hayes, whose DJ name is Lights Out. He's a DJ on the West Coast, and he started on the East Coast, got a lot of experience in producing. He works for a magazine. He does just about everything in the digital music industry. We're excited to talk with him. So we will be right back with Ian in about 2 minutes.
All right, see you then.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you out there who subscribe to our show.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough.
As you know, you can subscribe to our show via many different ways, such as iTunes, RSS podcatchers, and even by simply listening on our website.
I prefer iTunes.
And I like BeyondPod for my Android phone. But here's the thing. Our listener statistics system had a problem.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so our feed is going to be changing so that we can more effectively distribute our show.
So how is this going to affect our listeners?
Well, if you currently subscribe to our show via an RSS feed reader, the feed is going to change. You can access this new feed at our website, and it is www.adphantom.com/feed/podcast. Again, that is www.adphantom.com/feed/podcast. We will be finalizing this change over the next 2 weeks, but you can make the switch now.
So what's the easiest way for me to change this?
There are a number of different ways, actually. Just go to our website, adphantom.com, and you can click on the subscribe icon on the interactive toolbar at the bottom of the page. This will give you the option to subscribe to the podcast feed among others. You can also click on the latest episode on the carousel. There's a link on that page to subscribe to our new feed entitled RSS.
So what about in iTunes?
iTunes is a little trickier and requires a redirect that we may or may not have full access to. The problem with the current feed may prevent us from making an easy switch, so you may have to subscribe new feed altogether.
That doesn't sound very fun, but it's pretty simple though, right?
It is, but we will keep everyone updated so no one misses out on our show.
That's super important. We definitely don't want you guys to miss out. We also just want to remind everyone that you can check out and keep up to date with what's going on here at AdFandom.com by becoming a fan of the show on Facebook. And like some sites, don't worry, we don't send out dozens of useless posts all day long.
That's true. We do encourage you all to participate by sharing your show ideas, bacon recipes, product reviews, and more, all via AdFandom.com.
AdFandom, finding the people behind the ads.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the second segment of the Ad Phantom Show, where we get the opportunity to talk with a real person as our special guest about their unique stories and experiences in their area of expertise.
Joining us today, we have Ian Hayes. He DJs under the name Lights Out. He received his education from Appalachian State University in North Carolina. He got his degree in audio productions and recording, which is part of their music industry studies. He currently lives in L.A. and is an editorial assistant for New Soul magazine. He's also the director of web promotions for West Bay Music Group, and in his free time, he continues to DJ and produce music. So, Ian, I do have to ask you, what was the first record you ever bought, or the first CD that you ever purchased with your money?
Or eight-track, or cassette tape, whichever that would have been at the time.
At the time, it would have been a cassette tape, which reveals the era that I started listening to music in. I believe it was second grade, and my first tape was the classic opus by Vanilla Ice that goes by the name of To the Extreme.
Nice.
Featuring the much-loved Ice Ice Baby.
Nice.
Which I believe still gets a lot of play on a classic hip-hop radio station.
Oh, for sure. What was the first CD?
The first CD was Get a Grip by Aerosmith.
You did much better than me. I think my first CD was the Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
Oh, man. Talk about classic dance music right there.
It was a crazy combination of like death metal and dance music. So,
I think my first cassette was probably Boston.
Got to start with a classic, so that's good.
Yep,
that's very
true.
Good.
So what led you to decide to become a professional DJ?
I thought when I was playing punk rock music that I would always be into punk rock music and that was going to be my life. And I definitely still really enjoy listening to punk and would love to maybe get the opportunity to play it. But when I started going to electronic music events or raves, whatever you want to call them, in the late 90s, I really just felt like I loved being in that scene. I loved the environment and the music. I realized that I'd kind of been into electronic music since I was a kid, and just some of the songs that I heard on the radio when I was younger, you know, that now when you listen to, they sound kind of cheesy because it's all that late 80s, early 90s, sort of all 808 produced and using kind of the same samples. But it's like once you kind of develop an enjoyment for rhythm and the sound that electronic music offers, you don't really get away from it. I don't know. I guess like DJing to me always had a sort of mystery. Based on the fact that sometimes you're at a show and you don't even really see the DJ, like based on the kind of DJ booth setup they have, kind of a sense of like, who's making this music? What are they doing? How are they doing it? That all kind of, when I first started going to raves, that really got me interested in it.
How much would you say you'd have to invest at the beginning to get a basic DJing kit?
I think the first DJ setup I acquired probably cost $500 with all included. It's what they call a DJ in a box setup, which basically means you get, you know, nowadays it's digital has become so much more of a trend, but back then it would be your two turntables, your mixer, and your speakers, and you would just basically have a setup.
You talked about how there's a lot of similarities between kind of the punk rock scene and the kind of the dance music scene. There's sometimes a lot of stereotype that goes along with that. So how do you combat that negative stereotype?
What kind of negative stereotype do you mean, John?
You know, like the kind of the aggressive or rampant drug use kind of scenario.
Ah, I got you.
Well, certainly I think that, you know, that is a part of the scene, and it, you know, I think it's definitely a part of a lot of musical scenes if you were to look at everything from a 360 kind of point of view. You know, you kind of have to accept that, yes, there's going to be people that are attending these events and all they want to do is use drugs. And while, you know, that might not be the ideal situation, you know, you still kind of want to look out and for them and make sure that everybody's being safe and not just going ridiculously out of control. And as hard as that may be, especially at large scale events, it's kind of like a responsibility that everybody takes on. But, you know, what I've always told people is that I got into the scene for the music, and I think a overwhelming majority of people did that also. The people who are only in it for the substances, I think they kind of fall by the wayside pretty quickly.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you feel that oftentimes you're unjustly villainized in the media or things like that, you know, with the whole rave connotation and all that kind of...
I do. I think actually, and I'm not sure how much your listeners would know about kind of the recent events in Los Angeles in terms of the kind of big rave shows, but we haven't had a lot of good media stuff going on lately. There was actually a movie premiere, mm-hmm. which was about the event Electric Daisy Carnival.
Right, right.
Pretty much the biggest dance music event in the United States. Basically, there was a movie premiere, and the DJ was supposed to play. He tweeted that he was playing, and it drew such a huge crowd that the police had to shut the event down. That's the kind of thing that has been happening. But in terms of being unfairly characterized by the media, I think that the electronic music scene doesn't really get the justification that sort of other music scenes get, and which is weird because throughout the world it's definitely more of a, you know, mainstream thing, but I think that's changing.
Right before we get to your music, because I definitely want to get to your music sample, like you said, it is definitely more mainstream in most of the European and in South America and in Africa. There's, you know, you get this kind of baseline of just the dance music and people going and going to dance. I don't know that I've personally noticed recently that a lot more of the kind of the pop artists, like a good, I want to say 50% of the top 40 hits are just dance music. I mean, it's legitimately kind of the almost the European style discotheque dance music.
Yeah, it's coming into our top 40 now. And I mean, when artists like Britney Spears are doing electro and dubstep, and mm-hmm. you know, I think it's definitely kind of cracked its way into our culture. I mean, I think, like, you know, the LMFAO Party Rock Anthem, which is kind of like in my opinion, just a watered down, you know, electro house tune, is like probably the most played song of the summer.
You said you were doing some vinyl. You're spinning vinyl right now. So how large of a collection do you have?
I have about 600 records that I've been collecting since I was 16. Yeah, my record collection's huge. I try to always play classic music when I play a set out. I think that music's timeless, especially dance music. It's important to play the classics because when kids go out and if they only hear new music, they don't really know where the music that they're listening to comes from.
Right.
Well, do you have some of your music that we can sample?
I sure do. This track is a solo track by me. Something I really like to do with my music a lot is genre switching. Basically, in electronic music, the BPM kind of dictates the genre. So this track goes from drum and bass speed, which is about 160 BPM, into dubstep, which is about 140 BPM. So I'm going to play you that right now.
That's great. You can definitely feel that. I'm going to start dancing here in the studio and head to touch on the stuff. Like, the heck with the interview. I just want to listen to the music.
Great.
I'm just kidding. Your interview is great.
As a DJ, I'm sure you get a more detailed view on what's going on with the music trends these days. So really, what kind of music right now is bringing in the big crowds?
Well, as we were discussing earlier, and I don't want to sound like a home team supporter or anything, but I think electronic music is really sort of infiltrating pop music somewhere around the year of 2002 or 2003. Hip-hop, which is arguably the most popular pop music in the country, it's certainly, you know, the most relevant, for lack of a better word, musical creation of the United States in the last 80 years. Hip-hop went from being mostly sample-based, and those samples were usually jazz or funk samples, into mostly synth-based, which means that most hip-hop now is synthesized and it's using classic dance music sounds. It's also kind of branched into pop music with singer Britney Spears making dubstep tracks. It's also kind of gone into rock, whereas bands like Korn, I believe their next upcoming album is a dubstep-influenced album, which they've made exclusively with kind of the leading dubstep producers of the day.
That's
so all kinds of... Oh, yeah, I'm really excited to hear that because Korn was one of my favorite bands growing up, but
kind of
you know, everybody's kind of getting a hand in it. Indie rock's really big right now. I think, like, as a DJ, I kind of am less inclined to listen to music like that, but I really can see that people are digging that stuff right now. And what I do like about indie rock is that it's collaborating with dance music in ways that rock musicians never really did in the past.
How do you feel about like kind of that dance rock movement?
I like it. I mean, I think it's great. I think it attracts a whole new crowd that never would have maybe gotten into dance music. I think it definitely has a huge 80s synth pop influence. I don't really think there's anything tremendously original, but I think they're building on the kind of 80s sound of synth pop, and they're doing it in a way that's more aggressive. And there's certainly quality music in that vein out there. And I think if nothing else, if you listen to it for a while, maybe it gravitates you towards some of the more, you know, I'm not hating on dance rock, but some of the more deeper electronic genres.
So as a DJ, you have to do a lot of self-promotion. What
right.
methods do you find to be most effective?
That's hard to say. I feel like I'm learning. I feel like that's kind of something you have to constantly reinvent, and you have to keep up with what people are doing digitally. I think digital promotion is by far the focus of my attention, just because it reaches the most people.
Digital promotion, you mean like Facebook, web design?
Yeah, just internet in general, all the social networking, Facebook, Twitter. There's a lot of kind of musical sites that you can use, like SoundCloud, MixCloud. They're sites where you register and you have a screen name kind of like Facebook, except for you just upload as much audio as you want. And it makes it really easy for you to share your files, and you can embed them via other social networking sites. But I think the key to promoting yourself as a DJ is get music out there. You can talk about yourself, you know, all day long, but until you actually have music out there that people will listen to and like, then you're not going to get anywhere. So, I mean, I would advise DJs that are just starting out to make sure your mixes are good, make sure they're high quality enough for you to put them out there, and have really tight quality control so that it's up to the standard of today's DJing, but get stuff out there as soon as possible because it's going to help you in every facet.
You gave us a lot of great information there, Ian. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this with a little bit more from Ian Hayes.
Hello again, everyone. This is Cody from AdPhantom.com. We're going to go over a couple product reviews right now.
What do you got for us this time, Cody?
The first product we're going to go over is the Lotto Black Book.
Ooh, sounds mysterious.
Yes, it is. This product claims to be able to teach you how to win the lottery, and it is put out by an Oklahoma math professor, and he has supposedly been shot and mugged over his secrets. Yeah,
his secrets to winning the lottery.
His secrets
times,
to right? winning the lottery, exactly. You know,
there's a lot of criminals nowadays who score the newspapers looking for those lotto winners so they can go and rob them for their secrets. How dare they?
Exactly. They're probably thinking, you know, they just have millions in cash on it at any given time. This product reeks of a scam. When you try and find out the price, you have to put in input your email address and everything to get a free gift, which we obviously didn't do because we didn't even trust lost it, so we don't even know where it takes you from there on. When you try and leave the page, it gives you that horrible little pop-up warning saying, are you sure you want to leave this page? Blah, blah,
yes,
blah.
Yes, I'm very sure. Let
yes,
me know.
Yes, exactly. Please. It's like being in prison.
Well, how much is this one then, Cody?
This is a ridiculous $100 for an ebook.
Ouch.
Yeah, he originally said that the price was so high because he didn't want everybody to learn the secrets and start using the techniques. However,
that's a good reason.
Exactly. They've changed their website now, and he has, you know, lots and lots of letters from people supposedly claiming that they love the product and won big money. But if you actually read the letters, it talks about people winning $2 here, $3 there, and saying that they don't have enough time to put into his system.
Well, so is this recommended or not?
No, this is absolutely not recommended. It got 2 stars, and that was only because of the security, and we thought it was pretty funny.
All right, so what else do you got for us, Cody?
The next one is a product that I really, really like. It's called The Bachelor's Blueprint to Cooking. It's a survival guide for the modern bachelor. It is going to teach you how to eat like a king with zero skill and in less than 10 minutes a day.
Good, because there's a lot of bachelors out there with zero skill
exactly.
and no time.
With zero skill and no time to cook. In fact, one of my favorite things about this product is it teaches you how to cook efficiently with using the least amount of dishes so that you have less dishes to wash. It teaches you how to reuse the ingredients that you didn't use on your one dish for your dinner the next night.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of really cool stuff. It was made by an engineer, so which is hence the blueprint. It has a really logical layout. The only issue that I have with this product is it doesn't tell you the dishes he's actually going to teach you to create. So you kind of have to take his word for it that they're going to be good. There are some good reviews on this one, though, so we did give it a couple extra stars.
If it's crappy, do you get a money-back guarantee?
Yes, you do. There is the 60-day refund policy. The product's only $27, which is right in line with the ebooks.
Okay, that's a good price.
Yeah, and it's through ClickBank, you know, so there's really good security in there. But again, we really, really like this, and we stress this highly.
How many stars did we give this one?
This one got 4 stars. It only lost a couple on the presentation because it has a really simple page, and it didn't tell us exactly the dishes that we are going to be creating. But, you know, the value, the customer service, and the security were all top-notch, so it maintained 4 stars.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you, Cody. Again, everyone, to see more product reviews and to request certain product reviews or submit new ideas, visit adphantom.com and check us out. Now back to the rest of the program.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Ian Hayes, and we're going to talk a little bit more about him and his living his life as a successful producer in Los Angeles.
Ian, you're also working for New Soul Magazine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'd love to. New Soul was founded by Norman Mayers. He is my boss. I met Norman through a friend of mine, Nathan Hayes. He's also known as Atlantic Connection. He's got somewhat of a name in DJ circles as well. Norman has been running New Soul Magazine since 2006, but he also promotes events under the same name. He does a weekly event in Los Angeles at a club called Little Temple, and he does a monthly event at a club called Blue Monkey. But Norman basically wanted to focus on the convergence of soul music and electronic music. He was inspired by artists like Brand New Heavies and Four Hero and other artists like D'Angelo, who are using a lot of beats in their R&B and soul music. He's got primarily a soul background, but also got into the electronic scene. So New Soul is just his outlet for helping artists that he supports and thinks that people should hear more of, and also promoting his own events. I've gotten to promote a little bit of my stuff through there, so I owe him.
Is this a local magazine, or can you get it nationwide? Is it published online?
Well, it's a website, so it's not print. It's strictly email-based. So he reaches people in all kinds of ways, but it's strictly digital. There's no really print media other than the flyers for the shows, which sometimes are very entertaining and collectible.
Got you. So, Ian, you also do a lot of producing. So what type of artists do you produce?
In terms of producing, I'm strictly working on my own music right now. There's another project I'm involved with that's called Signal Flow Radio. I can talk more about that in a moment if you'd like.
Sure, but go ahead right now.
Well, Signal Flow Radio is a weekly radio show that's internet-based. We do it from my friend Jeff's apartment in Hollywood. Jeff actually goes by the name of Logical. And we kind of just get talent from around the city, maybe more well-known artists locally or artists that are just kind of coming up and still trying to make a name for themselves. And we have two artists a week, and the format has recently switched to one of the Signal Flow residents opening up, followed by a guest DJ. So that's kind of our way to get DJs a little more exposure. And there's plans in the future for a record label stemming from Signal Flow. So hopefully when that gets off the ground, I might have an opportunity to do a little bit more production in the traditional sense as far as developing other artists.
We reach a wide range of fans, and we're always about promoting new people. So who would be the perfect candidate for you to work with, just in case they happen to be listening?
I mean, I'd love to work with a producer who's doing something original and different in terms of drum and bass. And if they're based in Southern California, that would be a plus, because I might be able to do more for them in terms of show exposure. Anybody who is interested in getting an opinion on their music, or, you know, getting somebody to maybe help them out with electronic music, I would love to assist.
I've got a couple questions really quick. If you had an opportunity to actually produce a record for someone, with the new album, would you ever consider doing like a rock album or something like that? Well, one of my favorite producers is Rick Rubin, and the reason why is because I feel like, you know, he's worked from, you know, everything from Dr. Dre to Glenn Danzig and the Dixie Chicks. I mean, he even did some Slayer albums. I mean, he's incredibly diverse and talented. And would that be something that you'd like to do with a record label? I mean, would you go that diverse?
I absolutely would, and I think that the more kinds of music you're doing, the better a producer you are. I think what makes producers like Ruben and people of his stature so good is that they can find sonic brilliance in every kind of genre. And to me, I think the fundamentals stay the same. No matter what you're producing, you still want to try to make it sound as good as possible and add something that wasn't there before and something that makes that recording better. You know, I think every producer's goal is to do as much as possible. So I absolutely would love to do something outside of the electronic genre.
We'd like to hear a little bit more of your music. Do you have another track that we can hear?
I sure can. Let me play you a collaboration with a friend of mine. Actually, this is a collaboration with Jeff Logical of Signal Flow Radio. This track is called Overclocked.
Overclocked. Good stuff. I'm over here bouncing in my chair.
Listening to Ryan talk about dance music makes me giggle.
I'm a dork. What could I say?
It's good. I mean, that was a pretty awesome song.
Thank you.
With a collaboration like that, how does that work?
It could work in any number of ways. Usually, if I'm going to collaborate with somebody on a track, we'll sit down and I might ask them, hey, what kind of song do you want to make? That's one of the greatest things to me with electronic music, is that the inspiration comes from so many different places. You know, you could sit down with somebody and say, hey, we should write a track that's like this style. Like that particular track I just played had a lot of influence from like trance. You know, I tend to try to gravitate towards the futuristic sounds, but you could decide to write a track based on a sample, like one, you know, like, hey, you're looking through samples and you find a snare drum and you're like, oh, wow, that snare sounds really good. And you find a kick drum that sounds good with that snare, and the thing just kind of snowballs from there.
Like you said earlier that you've had a lot of opportunities to perform live. I guess what I want to know, to kind of change gears, is what are some of the craziest stories you've had from events that you've either DJed or been a part of promoting?
I can definitely tell you that the craziest thing that's ever happened at a live gig definitively was I was playing a show. It wasn't too long before I moved away from Boone, so it was like my last 6 months of college. And they have this thing, it's just known as the Red Bull Party because it's kind of run by some Red Bull reps, but it's not really an actual venue. They kind of just have it at a house, but there's Red Bull sponsorship, free Red right. Bull. And I was kind of skeptical about the draw that this party would have because it's Boone for one thing, and you know, Boone just isn't the most populated place.
Not very progressive.
And not to mention, you know, your people that are into electronic music, it's not that huge of a thing there. So this party was featuring bands, and they had a DJ room. They had a band area and a DJ area, and the band area was in the upper section in sort of like an external garage, if I remember correctly. And the DJ area was the basement of these people's house. So this house is on a hill, as most houses in Boone are. You have to go around the back of the house to get to the basement. So it decides to rain a whole lot that night, which basically turned the hill behind the house into a big mudslide. I think through the course of the night, there were probably about 1,000 people at this party.
Wow.
And the DJ area was in the basement, and it kind of had like a dungeon feel to it because it's really dirty. The floor, there's not even a proper floor. It's a dirt floor, and there's brick walls, and everything's filthy, and you pack like 500 kids down into this thing. Somebody, I guess, was swinging on a pipe, a water pipe, that was going through the ceiling of this basement. And they dislodged the pipe, which sprayed hot water all over this really filthy basement. I was kind of concerned for the equipment because everything was getting super wet, and I had my turntables there. But we kept playing, and the water didn't really spill out close to where we were. So, and I didn't even realize what had happened until afterwards. I just knew at one point it got super steamy and was like a sauna throughout this whole thing. but there's actually a picture of me spinning at this party, and the camera's like super fogged up because like the water main had burst. But that's definitely the craziest thing that has ever happened to me while I was DJing.
But the party never stopped, right? Even with the...
Exactly, yeah, it didn't stop. to add a footnote to that, I lost my keys at the party, and I had to come back the next day. And so I saw kind of like the aftermath of this party, and the basement looked like a mud bomb had gone off in it. Like everything was covered with mud, the walls, the ceiling. And I finally found my keys, like I couldn't even see them because everything was covered in mud, but I was just kicking around on the ground, and I discovered them, so...
Nobody left over, like just laying in the mud.
No, I don't think they had any mud stragglers that night.
Well, there's nothing like an impromptu mud pit to make things exciting. That's
pretty definitely funny. Yeah. It's like because people just it's like oh forget it I'm not gonna stay clean tonight so
right, yeah.
people just go nuts. Yeah,
absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about something a little different, and this question, this debate actually always comes up when it comes to music, and I don't think it's ever going to die. I'm, of course, referring to the RIAA, or Recording Industry Association of America, versus Napster, which everybody thought was
correct.
Dead, but just last week I was reading an article on how the RIAA is once again going after Napster. So you being in the music industry and having to deal with all sorts of different artists and record labels, etc. How do you feel about music sharing?
Well, I think that's a tough question. I think that for artists that are already established, you know, it might be detrimental. I think a lot of artists have been taking a pay cut over the last 10 or so years. I do think a lot of established artists make enough money anyway that they're not terribly affected by this. But I think for an upcoming artist, I think that music sharing is essential. I think that nowadays, because it's so hard to get people to actually pay for music, a lot of PR companies and such have kind of gone over to giving away free music just as a promo, just to get people to listen. I think a lot of the sites that are kind of developing, like Pandora and Spotify, which is kind of a recent favorite of mine, can be good for artists to get their stuff out there. And people are paying for it. They're paying a subscription. You know, you're still basically getting access to whatever you might want to listen to at the moment, which is what I love so much about Napster, was that you could just get whatever you happen to want. But I think that if you're a DJ, if you want to look at it from that angle, you should be paying for your music. Like, if I'm going to DJ a song live, then I'm going to pay for that song because I feel like that's what I would want if I was a producer. I don't think you can stop it, and I don't think the
RAAA is ever going to be able to stop it.
All right. Well, Ian, for all our fans who live in California, where can they go to find out more about your shows?
Well, you can go to my Facebook pages.
And we'll make sure that all goes up on your bio as well on adphantom.com. So anybody who wants to reach him on any of his pages can go to adphantom.com under our special guests, and you will find him there with all of his links as well.
Right. I'll provide links, probably more links than you guys want. But yeah, you know, digitally is the best way to find me. You can also check the LA Weekly. Sometimes the shows that I play are listed in the event section of the LA Weekly. And also my next upcoming show is October 21st at Second Street Jazz Club, and that's in Little Tokyo, downtown LA. That's a show called Sacred Sounds that's run by a crew called Vital Signs. So I'm really excited about that.
Excellent.
So everyone out there knows you can go to Ian's fan page and you can hear more about his music. So if you don't live within driving distance, you can follow the links on adphantom.com, and we'll make sure to link all of his information up. You can go right to him. In closing, I just want to ask, what advice would you give to a newly formed band on how to get their music noticed and promoted?
To keep going back to that same old, you know, of our times, the internet is the best way to get your music out there. I don't think you can underestimate the value of a good recording versus a demo tape. You know, a home-recorded demo, unless you have somebody who knows what they're doing producing it, is probably going to do more harm than good. I would advise to go to a recording studio and drop a few $100s to get a decent 3-song produced demo. If you're going to be sending your music out, which is kind of the next step, is to send your music out to labels, and it helps to get a PR company to work for you, but you have to kind of watch out for these sort of predatory companies that they claim that they're going to be able to help you get a lot of online exposure and notice, but they're really just sort of doing stuff that nobody pays attention to anyway.
What are some warning signs for being scammed by recording studios or distribution companies?
Studios, it's less likely to happen. I mean, I think most studios out there that are in business are going to do a legit job. But in terms of scams online, there's a lot of scams like somebody will hit you up and say, hey, we want to put your song on this compilation, or we want to feature it on some kind of release. But they will ask you to pay for the production of that CD under the promise that they will give you CDs to sell, which they usually never send you. So you've kind of paid to have your song put out on iTunes, basically. You know, they will release the song on iTunes, but they won't do any promotion for you. They won't give you any physical product. If somebody ever asks you to pay to put out your music, then it's a scam.
Yeah. I can totally agree with you, Ian. In fact, as you know, Ad Phantom promotes and features many new bands. When we're reviewing music, you had mentioned about getting a good recording. I can tell you right off the bat that as soon as we get a submission or recording that is not high quality, that we recognize as like one microphone in somebody's room that, you know, doesn't have any acoustic padding or anything, we just say no. It's not even
basement.
Yeah, really, it's not even worth our time. We just hang it up
exactly.
And say, you know what, you need to go spend some money. It's a couple $100, so go spend some money, find a good recording studio. And at the same time, we feature a lot of different bands here, and never does Ad Phantom ever charge or ask for money to do so. So if you're
definitely
looking to promote any music, if you're a new up-and-coming band and would like to reach a wider audience, visit adphantom.com and we can talk. We'll be happy to feature you. Well, Ian, that's all the time we have for this segment, but we thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Ian.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
As you know, Ad Phantom is audience-driven.
Yes. John and I have been diagnosed with a deficiency in cardio-creative juices and pygmy show ideas entertaining to the general public syndrome.
Right. But don't worry, we're totally medicated.
And the side effects are murder.
Okay. Yes, so we need your help.
We sure do. Do you have a great show idea? Maybe something you're interested in or struggle with on a daily basis? Maybe you've got some juicy stories or details about a crazy conspiracy that you can't share yourself for fear of imprisonment or deportation.
Wait, what?
It could happen.
Right. Well, what Ryan is trying to say is that we need your help to share your interests on the things that are important to you, so that we can tell your story here on the show. Of course, you don't have to give your name if you'd like to remain anonymous.
Whether that be a bacon recipe, a show idea, or musical talent, each week we feature musical artists in order to increase your fan base and expose your talent.
That's right. Small businesses, artists, big companies, crazy folks with crazy ideas. It's all free. We want to help you all grow your audiences. Visit adfandom.com and check them all out.
AdFandom, finding the people behind the ads. Ian Hay's musical tastes were forged at a young age with grunge, punk rock, and early electronica and hip-hop. He went from electric bass to DJing at the age of 17 and felt that he had truly found his musical calling. Beginning to experiment with production soon after, he was inspired by the darker electronic sounds of acid techno, hard trance, trip-hop, industrial, and especially drum and bass. He applies the early love of the dark sounds with attempts to create futuristic atmospheres and journey-type storytelling in the DJ set. Recently graduating from Appalachian State University for audio production with a double bass concentration, he formed a connection with New Soul magazine and moved from North Carolina to Los Angeles, California, in an attempt to pursue his love of music and production. Affiliated with label Black Rain LTD, as well as the 315 and Broken Halo crews, and partially responsible for the Reborn series in Boone, North Carolina, as well as opening for numerous top-billed electronic artists, he is always in search of new connections and outlets for his music and DJing. Putting effort into every set is something that prides Lights Out in his technique, and fuels his hopes to expose as many as possible to the sound. To find out more about Ian Hay's Lights Out, visit adfandom.com. Special thanks to all our guests, to Cody, our associate producer, and all the staff here at Ad Phantom. We once again thank you for joining us and hope you enjoyed the show. Are you in a band or have a great show idea? We love feedback, so please visit our website, www.adphantom.com. Leave a comment, become our Facebook fan, follow us on Twitter, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Also, don't forget to look at our daily product deals. We'll now close with one of our favorite tracks from our musical guest.
and Phantom, finding the people behind the ads.